It is a terrific honor to welcome live into this studio here on Rose Hill Drive, best-selling author Richard Dawkins. Professor Dawkins, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Your latest book, of course, is The Magic of Reality, which we are celebrating the release of today.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you spoke this afternoon at the University of Virginia. Let me just start with the obvious question. What is The Magic of Reality, both the book and the idea?
I begin by distinguishing three kinds of magic. Supernatural magic, like frogs turning into princes and people turning water into wine or walking on water. Then conjuring magic, stage magic, card tricks, pulling rabbits out of hats and things. And then the magic of reality, which is the magical thought that we exist on this one planet orbiting a rather ordinary star as a result of 4,000 million years of evolution. The magic of looking up at the galaxy, seeing the Milky Way, the magic of looking at the Grand Canyon and reflecting on the numbers of hundreds of millions of years laid down in the rocks, that's the magic of reality.
It's sort of the awe of that.
Yes.
We get by watching a magic trick as children. As adults, we have that awe when we look at the natural world and science.
The truth is magical, and we don't need anything supernatural. We don't need anything more than reality. Reality is magic enough.
Now, in a way, this is a different kind of book for you, is it not? I mean, number one, it's beautiful, filled with drawings, and it really does appeal to both a younger audience and, an older audience as
yes,
well.
Yes, I've long wanted to write a children's book. This is a book for 10-year-olds, 11, 12-year-olds, but also for people of all ages. I'm not allowed to call it a children's book. It's a book for all ages, but
yeah.
It is beautifully illustrated, as you say, by Dave McKean. And that makes it kind of look like a children's book anyway.
Yeah, it really is something. It's 4:11 in Charlottesville, and we're honored to be talking with Professor Richard Dawkins. His books include The Selfish Gene, The God Delusion, and his latest book, released today, The Magic of Reality, How We Know What's Really True. Is this an attempt, perhaps, to help children gain some critical thinking skills? Not only when it comes to science, as it's demonstrated here, but perhaps to learn those skills and then carry those into adulthood and be able to use those in any number of opportunities that
yes,
present themselves.
I do think critical thinking is enormously important. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give to a child, is to teach critical thinking, to avoid swallowing things whole just because grown-ups tell you. Ask what the evidence is. How do you know that? Why is that so? Critical thinking is very much part of what I want to get across, but also the things that are known. I mean, there are certain things that they've taken centuries for us to discover them, but we now do know them, and that is enthralling for children as well.
There's so much science in this book that makes it accessible and reader-friendly to children, to young people. Can you talk a little bit about science in the world today and what some have said is there is a war on science, certainly in American politics. We see that. I know you've been asked about this before. Where is it right now? How do you think it's playing out now?
There kind of is a war on science in a way. I mean, I see it in my own field of evolution and education, where there is a most definite a religious war against science education, against teaching children what actually is the truth. I mean, the demonstrable truth that we and all other living creatures have evolved. We are cousins of chimpanzees. We're slightly more distant cousins of monkeys and so on. There's also a war on science in the medical field, a war on stem cell research because it's thought to involve abortion. There is a pretty widespread war on science, and I think maybe even a war on intellectualism generally, a kind of despising of the life of the mind, the life of education.
But certainly we've been here before. I mean, the medieval period was based on a religious war on science, and was it not?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yes, and we've come round again. But I think there are grounds for optimism. I think that if you look at the very broad sweep of history, things are getting better.
We're talking with Professor Richard Dawkins. His latest book, released just today, is The Magic of Reality, How We Know What's Really True. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA. We are here in Charlottesville, the home of Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe. Can you take a moment to reflect on their significance and their role vis-a-vis religion, politics. They were some of the leaders that helped turn that page between the medieval period and the modern period.
Those founders of this great republic, there were men of the Enlightenment. They may have been atheists. They were certainly deists, if not atheists. They were above all secularists. If they were religious, they wanted to keep religion out of politics, religion out of government. They wanted to have a definite separation between church and state. They would be spinning in their graves at some of the republican oratory that's going on today.
You think so? Well, that opens the door for my next question, which is, talk about that a little bit. This evangelical influence, not just religion, but really what some might say is a radical fringe evangelical conservative Christianity. I'm thinking of, you know, Rick Perry and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann, you know, believers in exorcism, believers in demons. They believe that, you know, demons run the Democratic Party and are control in Washington, you know, literal demons.
I mean, this is very worrying. And as I said before, fighting against education, fighting against intellectualism generally. I heard a story today that some politician, I forget his name, was saying we don't need to worry about global warming leading to flooding because God promised in the book of Genesis there weren't going to be any more floods. So it's not a problem. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we're dealing with, this evangelicalism. When we come back to what Jefferson and Madison might have thought, there are these evangelical Christians who are trying to say the United States was founded as a Christian country, which is, that could hardly be more at variance with the truth of what the Founding Fathers actually intended, the very opposite of what the Founding Fathers intended.
And when somebody argues that point with you, how do you support that? How do you support your position? How do you know that that is the case, that this was the opposite of what they intended, that this, in fact, was not to have been a quote-unquote Christian nation?
You just have to read what they said. I mean, read the Constitution.
Which makes no mention of, laws based on the Bible.
But more than that, it actually says they should be separate. They should not impinge upon, I don't know the exact words, but should not impinge upon laws and government.
We're talking with Professor Richard Dawkins. It's 416 in Charlottesville. His latest book is The Magic of Reality, illustrated beautifully by Dave McKeon. Take a moment to share your thoughts about the significance of September 11th. I have read one of your essays where you talked very candidly about how, you know, there was this period before September 11th where it seemed appropriate perhaps to have some respect, whether it's political correctness or not, I don't know, but some respect for religious belief. And then after September 11th, perhaps not.
I think before there was a feeling of live and let live, that people had to respect other people's private religious beliefs. They're private, they're nothing to do with anybody else. Respect them. I think September the 11th really brought home the fact that religion doesn't leave the rest of us alone. Religion does interfere. Religion does, in a very dramatic way in this case, and this was a particularly extreme example. But what it made me think is that we've been respectful for too long, and we should only respect people who deserve our respect. We should not allow people to shelter behind a wall of respect. Because it's my religion, you're not allowed to criticize it. That, I think, has now gone.
Is one of the takeaways, perhaps, and I'm trying to boil it down if I can to a bumper sticker, but is one of the takeaways, perhaps, from your work, some of your work, not all, but some of your work, that perhaps humanity has aged to the point where we can recognize that so much of religious belief is akin to the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus?
Yes, well, I've long thought that, and I think increasing numbers of people are thinking that, and more people are coming out as saying that, and getting out of their closet, getting out of their reluctance to join the rest of us. I don't have anything to add to that.
What about somebody who would say, well, you know, if we didn't have religion, you wouldn't have all the great things that religions do, and that people would not be good people, that we need religion as a course, some guideline, some framework.
I mean, it's a monstrous suggestion that we need religion in order to be good, in order to be moral. When you think of why it is that people think that religion makes us moral. I mean, it can be one of two things, either because you're obeying what some holy book tells you to do, and I very sincerely hope nobody gets their morals by reading the Bible or the Quran, because that's not where you're going to get any decent morals at all. And the other reason why you might think that that religion makes you good would be that you're afraid of God, or you want to suck up to God, both thoroughly ignoble reasons for being moral. I prefer people to be moral for better reasons than that.
Yeah. I've always been struck by the extent to which our understanding and even the language we use about religion in the West is based on such medieval concepts that literally it is a king, the king of kings, and that we, like in medieval times, we supplicate ourselves to this ruler and beg for forgiveness and ask for favors, just like you would have done hundreds of years ago to your quote-unquote lord, your king.
Exactly.
It's the exact medieval language.
It is. I mean, and pre-medieval too. I mean, it's Bronze Age. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So in a sense, during the revolutions of the 18th century, we overthrew the kings, but we didn't overthrow that last king.
No, that's right. Yes, I think that's a very good point.
Yeah. We're talking with Richard Dawkins, honored to have him live in studio. It's 4:20. Can you talk a little bit about the letter to your daughter? And for people who don't know what that is and what it means to you.
Yes, when she was 10, I wrote an open letter to her, which was published originally in a book edited by John Brockman, my literary agent, and it's been reprinted in my book, A Devil's Chaplain, as the last chapter of that book. And on her 18th birthday, I dedicated that book to her. It's a book encouraging her, and of course all other children of her age as well, to think for themselves, never to accept anything that's not supported by evidence, and in particular, never to believe anything that comes down only through tradition or revelation or faith or authority. Evidence is the only reason to believe anything, and I laid that out in that letter to her. And in a way, that sort of was the germ of my new book, The Magic of Reality.
So this sort of picked up where that left off.
Yes, it's kind of an expansion, yes.
Yeah. And is there, take a moment, is there something that you want to share from your latest book, The Magic of Reality, that you think perhaps might illustrate what readers can find there? And I would urge every parent and every caregiver to go out and buy this for their children. It's a beautiful presentation of the wonders of the natural world and the wonders of perhaps the world of science being a tool that we can use to wrap our minds around this natural world.
Yes, well, it's divided up into 12 chapters, and most of the chapters are headed by a question, like what is an earthquake, what is the sun, what is a rainbow? And every chapter begins with myths on the subject and then goes on to the reality, the true scientific
We're talking with Professor Richard Dawkins. He is live in studio here on Rosehill Drive. It's 4:22 in Charlottesville. So you start with these questions, and then you present sort of the antiquated old answers, the science of thousands of years ago.
Yes, I mean, I'm not sure that myths ever were considered to be answers to the question. Maybe they were. I mean, did anybody really think that, I don't know, that the sun was a God's chariot charging across the sky? But yet there are people still today who believe the Jewish creation myths of Genesis. And so I guess maybe those other creation myths were believed. I mean, it is astonishing that people actually do believe.
Yeah.
That actually people do believe in Adam and Eve. I mean, that is
literally,
Yes, literally.
Yeah. We're talking with Professor Richard Dawkins. His latest book is The Magic of Reality. Before we let you go, and I know you're very busy, and I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us. What's next? What do you have in mind? If it's either the next book or maybe it's just in the pipeline, projects you have in mind that you have your heart set on embarking on.
It's a very common question I get asked, and hitherto I've always said I'm going to write a children's book. Unfortunately, now I've done that, I can't say that anymore. I don't have another book in mind at the moment. I've got a charitable foundation, the Richard Dawkins Foundation for Reason and Science, and my time is fairly heavily given over to that foundation. It has a British branch and an American branch. And so that'll occupy me for a bit. I expect I'll write another book again soon.
Yeah. The website, folks, check it out, is richarddawkins.com. www.thebestofmagic.net. Have you ever said anything in an interview or written anything that you perhaps you regret? That was because you've had a number of statements and things in your books that have sparked some controversy and certainly sparked some contentious discussions. Have you ever said anything along those lines that perhaps you look back and think, ah, that was maybe too far?
I feel rather bad at not being able to say yes to that question. I think I ought to be able to say yes to it. I'm sure there must be some such case. I can't actually think of any. I wouldn't wish to climb down on any of the major things that I've said.
Yeah. For those who find great solace in your work and comfort, I'm curious, what's the way forward? For those of us who are concerned, like myself personally, who look at politics in America today and how the evangelical belief is sort of grabbing our politics by the throat in some cases, what's the way forward? What's the solution to this?
I'm no politician, but I would have thought make it known what your views are. Join up with other people who have similar views. Recognize that there are far more of you than you think there are. The numbers of people who don't have any religion is much more numerous, I think, than many people realize. I would like to add, though, that since so much of our discussion has been on the subject of religion, The Magic of Reality is not an anti-religious book.
It's a
science book.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't wish it to be thought of as kind of the God delusion for children.
Yeah.
It's a book about science. My belief is that if children take science seriously, that will lead them away from the gods. But that's not what I've deliberately written down.
Professor Richard Dawkins, he's online at richarddawkins.net. His latest book is The Magic of Reality, How We Know What's Really True. And it is beautifully illustrated by Dave McKeon.
Oh, and there's an app of the book as well.
Of course there is.
also called The Magic of Reality.
Download the app on your smartphone. Professor Dawkins, it's been a true honor to have you here. And thank you so much.
Thank you very much.